happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Dawn Ennis.
Dawn, welcome. Dawn is a very distinguished journalist in our community. And please introduce yourself before we get started.
Andy, I'm very pleased to be with you. I may not be gay, but I am part of the USA. I'm queer. I'm a professor at the University of Hartford. I'm also a journalist, as Andy mentioned. I've been working at several online publications. I was managing editor of OutSports. I'm now the sports editor at the Los Angeles Blade. I contribute to Forbes and StarTrek.com and many other publications. Most of all, I'm co-hosting, filling in for Anne.
and she thanks you as well. So let's get to the headlines. You know, I'm going to start with a very important person that we lost this week. The man who discovered the virus that causes AIDS, Luc Montagnier, has died.
The Don't Say Gay bills in school advances in Florida. We're going to show you how the community is fighting back.
Okay. And we had a big victory for LGBTQ rights in West Virginia.
Anti-trans bills have been dodged in Virginia and Arizona. Breaking news, Indiana just passed a new anti-trans bill. Plus Iowa, Alabama, so many states. Plus we'll update the LGBT NCAA policy regarding trans women in sports. Right now, today, Leah Thomas and her team are supposed to start competing in the Ivy League championships. We have an update for you.
Okay. The leading transphobe in Congress is basing her race for U.S. Senate from Missouri on bashing transgender people. We'll show you her ad.
New York City's Mayor Adams is stacking his faith-based office with anti-LGBT pastors.
I just finished this story for Gay City News. It's appalling. New Zealand and Israel banned conversion therapy, and Australia killed an anti-LGBTQ bill, but China is censoring LGBTQ people on Friends reruns.
Another case of someone reportedly being cured of HIV.
An out gay skater won gold at the Olympics.
A legendary lesbian played a part in the Super Bowl. We'll show you.
Okay, and Amy Schneider got engaged, and Anderson Cooper welcomes his second son. Woo! So let's get to the news. I'm putting the passing of Dr. Luc Montagnier at the top because this man really saved millions of lives around the world, because he's the guy who discovered in 1983 that a virus was causing AIDS. He went on to win a Nobel Prize with Françoise Bal Sinoussi, his co-worker at the Pasteur Institute in 2008. He was 89. Now, before his breakthrough, there were wild theories about what was causing AIDS. People thought it might be poppers. Seriously. The drugs that we took to cure amoebiasis, taking recreational drugs. People thought the swine flu vaccine might be causing it. But He had the breakthrough, and there was really tremendous resistance at that time to the idea that a viral agent might be causing it, particularly in the gay community. So he found it with his colleagues, and it led to a test in 1985 and effective treatments. And it really took until 85 to confirm his findings with Dr. Robert Gallo, controversially. But Montagnier called AIDS a disease of the Boeing 747. The globalization of culture has globalized our parasites, he said. And of course, that's what we're going through with COVID. He set up a foundation for research and prevention centers in nations most affected by the pandemic, such as the Ivory Coast and Cameroon, to assist scientists there fighting AIDS. So, Dr. Montagnier, thank you for your service.
This is personal, Andy. I don't have to say how many people you have mourned and had to say goodbye to because of AIDS. I lost an uncle. I lost a cousin. I think that this person's life stands for something, and it's important that we make sure people know that name.
Okay. And now take us to Florida, and what's going on with that Don't Say Gay bill?
That's personal for me, too, because I'm a former Florida resident. And I think everyone's heard about this bill that is going through the state legislature that the governor himself has said, yeah, let's do it. There's two kinds of responses I can tell you about. One is that people, including yours truly, have been sharing the number for the state legislators and calling up and saying, gay, and then hanging up. The second is a more organized response. Equality Florida has launched a two-part ad campaign to address this bill, which we think, and many others think, it could potentially harm marginalized students, including those within the LGBT community. So there's a 60-second ad, a 30-second ad. Can we show a little bit of it?
All right, Chelsea, you're up. Tell us about your hero.
I have two heroes, my two moms.
It's okay. You should be proud. Go ahead.
Mrs. Thompson, please report to the front office.
Could you imagine?
So, Nadine Smith from Equality Florida, veteran activist down there, said Governor DeSantis is pushing legislation to curb free speech, propagandize school curricula, and monitor classroom conversations, private workplaces, and doctor's offices, all in order to outflank Donald Trump to the right and build a ramp onto the 2024 presidential race.
We haven't seen anything like this, as Nadine said, since the days of Anita Bryant. I mean, what they're trying to do in this ad, it shows you this could be what our future looks like.
And they also have something called the Stop Woke Act, which encourages people to sue their neighbors and go back to sleep. Sue if they are made to feel guilty or discomfort because of a training that they might have to take at school or at the office about overcoming bias. I mean, about snowflakes.
I always was raised to think that the Republicans, conservatives are the let's keep our government out of our private lives party.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know there are gay and LGBT Republicans, but this is what Nadine calls a surveillance state kind of bill. It's ridiculous.
Right. Now, take us to, if you would, to the NCAA story, because you've been hot on that.
Well, that's why they call me sports girl. In Cambridge at Harvard University, the Ivy League conferences are happening. As you reported with last week on Gay USA, Leah Thomas has been cleared to swim. And Leah Thomas also received some other endorsement. The NCAA decided not to apply USA Swimming's very restrictive trans policy on the March conference, the NCAA finals. If Leah competes, it's all a question because of her testosterone levels, but if she competes, she will be the first transgender competitor in the NCAA's Division I, and she might become the first All-American.
So she is cleared for now, you're saying, pending some testosterone tests?
Yeah, because what they're doing is the USA Swimming folks want to reduce testosterone tests to 5 nameleus. I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but that's what they are. And it has to be for 36 months, which basically is almost an entire college career. NCAA is going with the existing standard was for the IOC prior to its abandonment of testosterone as a determinant of eligibility. And what the NCAA says has to be 10. Most average women are like 1 or 2, but it's not unheard of for a trans person on HRT, a trans woman, to have low testosterone. Mine was 0 for a very long time. I think it probably still is. Well, I don't check it anymore because it's not relevant. But it's crazy to think that there aren't women who have high testosterone. There are. So it's really not the best determinant of eligibility, but that's what they're going with.
Okay. All right, let's go back to those Republicans. They're also banning books. Almost all kids get their information from the internet these days, not books. But these right-wingers are alerting the kids to the titles that they need to read about race, sexuality, and sex, and gender identity. And the kids are getting the books, and they're passing them around. So, whatever. Okay. Let's talk about a Republican who's running for Senate in Missouri, Vicki Hatzler. Our viewers know that name because she's the one who got Trump to ban trans people in the military. But what's she up to
is
now?
Perhaps the most transphobic Congress member there is, Senate or representatives. And, you know, you think Marjorie Taylor Greene is bad with her two gender sign? What Vicki has done is put out an ad that attacks swimmer I just told you about. Let's watch that together.
Meet William Thomas, ranked number 462 in men's swimming. Meet Leah Thomas, ranked number 1 in women's swimming. Only one problem. It's the same person.
Boy, I'll tell you, Coach Hartzler, you don't belong in Congress. You don't belong in the Senate. And this kind of hate, people who know tell me this is the most transphobic thing they've ever seen in a political campaign.
But this is a big theme of Republicans running for office across the country, right down to the school board level. And it is getting some traction with people. So the ads, like from Equality Florida, others groups are putting out ads. How are we going to beat this back?
Well, I talked to the organizations. So far, none of them have given me an answer. Matter of fact, the ACLU said, pass. Come on, folks. We need a strategy. We need an action plan. What people are doing is putting out their own opinions. Justice Horn of the Los Angeles Blade, Carly Webb in OutSports. They're trying to generate support because, you know what? I'm a parent, and I want my kids to do the best they can in all the sports they compete in. But I never taught them that just because somebody else wins, that makes it unfair and that we should change the rules. The rules are that trans athletes should compete. What people want is to change the rules to make it unfair and that only cisgendered people can win. How is that fair?
Okay. All right. Well, let's give people some better news about a trans person, Rob Livingood in West Virginia, a trans man and public defender. He won a 3-year legal battle over being denied a job with the Fifth Circuit. That's where he wanted to get the job. He didn't get the ruling from the Fifth Circuit. He got the ruling from the West Virginia Human Rights Commission. And he prevailed. And, you know, the state legislature hasn't passed an LGBTQ rights law there. But there's the Bostock decision from the U.S. Supreme Court, which bans employment discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. So good on Ron.
Excellent. I love what he said. I spent a life building my resume and my qualifications. I was bringing a lot to the table. To be turned away from a job basis on something other than my qualifications, it struck me as a gross injustice. And the Great. Court agreed.
Great. And then let's stay with West Virginia for a second. In Huntington, a public high school, they require the students to attend an evangelical revival assembly at a public school of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And an anti-LGBTQ preacher got up and told them to accept Jesus or you're all going to hell. So 100 students out of 1,000 walked out chanting things like, separate church and state, you know. And eventually the school administration had to admit, oh, no, this wasn't supposed to be required, even though several teachers told the students that it was.
Oh, boy. Eye roll time. I'm very proud of those students for standing up, and I hope they don't face any disciplinary or other kind of action.
Great. All right. Where are we going now?
How about Latib Rockington, the trans woman who's suing after being imprisoned at Rikers?
Yeah. She says she was brutally attacked 3 times, choked unconscious and raped by an inmate, threatened with a knife and raped by again, threatened with a scalpel, choked and raped again, and said the jail authorities refused to take any action, including 2 corrections officers. They refused to send her to a women's jail. Then they did. Then back to a men's jail for what they said were security concerns, where she was repeatedly raped.
For those outside of New York, Rikers Island is like our Alcatraz. And I got to tell you, they've been trying to shut this place down for a long time. There is a plan for that. But NBC News recently reported there's so much abuse going on there. It's really past time.
I mean, 7-8 years ago, I was first time I visited, I was brought out to see the new transgender unit, all, you know, new. There was nobody in it. They just showed me an empty room with a lot of nice, you know, rooms and beds. But they obviously are not getting this issue under control.
What was it like being behind bars? Because I've done that too, and it's a little spooky, to be honest.
Sure. Take us to Brigham Young University.
Well, BYU, like a lot of Christian universities, does not formally allow LGBT students to express their affection, to compete in sports. There was one openly gay runner, Emma G, and she did come out, and she, you know, was the only one who was brave enough to do that. Well, what people have done is they brought complaints to the federal government, the Justice Department. They said, we've got to take BYU and stop federal funding for BYU because it discriminates against LGBT. And the Biden administration said, nope, they're protected because of religious exemptions.
Well, they had gotten a waiver from, you know, the Obama administration and others probably
right.
before that. So it's outrageous. Your tax dollars going to these institutions. And we're going to talk later in international news about that's not the case in other places around the world. The feds are also delaying gender-affirming care for trans prisoners, despite approving it for a Texas inmate, Christina Iglesias, who won her legal case. But now they're saying mid-April at the earliest for you to get a date with the surgeon. She's 47, and she's been incarcerated for 27 years.
She'd be the first one if it goes through. And I got to tell you, I want you to understand, for people who don't understand, why would someone want that kind of surgery? Well, if you had an appendix that was killing you, if it was hurting you, you'd want to take that out.
I did. And it was
taken out right
there.
And there you go.
And it almost killed me.
See? And this, for trans people, is just another part of our bodies that we don't want, and we feel it's killing us to have it. I've had the surgery. It's none of your business that I did, but I have lived my whole life hoping that I could live as the woman I am. And this accomplished that.
Okay. Now, let's go to the U.S. Senate for a second. They advanced a bill to hold tech companies responsible for posts exploiting children, which we're all for. It's called the Earn It Act. It opens them up to more lawsuits over posts of child sexual abuse. But some LGBTQ groups and civil liberties groups are against it, saying it could have a chilling effect on online speech and saying it really won't protect kids and could hurt adult sex workers and LGBTQ people in general. So that's a bit in limbo.
Let's go to a state issue in Arizona. A Republican blocked the trans health care ban. State Senator Tyler Pace, there he is. He could be a bear. I mean, he says he's not. He voted against advancing the bill out of the Health and Human Services Committee 1 week ago. He joined three Democrats to make the vote a 4-4 tie, and that means the bill is dead. Congratulations.
Okay. And where are we going next? Take us to Athens, or is it Athens, Georgia?
Athens.
It's Athens, New York. Athens, Georgia.
Why don't you pick it up from there, because I'm familiar. I'm losing my place. I lost my place. What's going on in Athens?
At Oglethorpe Elementary School, a principal went off when rainbow balloons were sent to the school. There's videotape of him doing this. They were sent to a student at the elementary school who created LGBTQ artwork.
Look at this. Look at him. He's stabbing it with scissors or a pen or something. Yeah, scissors.
Just unbelievable. So there is a video report, local video report on this. And let's go to that if we could.
Video at Oglethorpe Avenue Elementary School. Take a look at this. It appears to show the school principal stabbing balloons sent to the school in support of a student who created LGBTQ artwork in class.
Well, now legal action. The community says this is the latest incident in a string of inappropriate behavior from school administrators. CBS 46's Savannah Louie explains from Athens.
I spoke with the attorney for the family today. He tells me that the family is frustrated. They're angry, and they're hoping for answers from the school district after this video, which they say is very upsetting.
An elementary school's colorful delivery completely destroyed. Video at Oglethorpe Avenue Elementary shows principal Dr. Bipul Singh stabbing this bouquet of balloons sent to the school in support of a student who drew this artwork hanging in a classroom, a rainbow flag with the words, gay is okay.
There is a slew of other issues that need to be addressed.
Attorney Jeffrey Jackson is representing the student who drew the artwork. The problem began weeks ago when this art was removed following a parent complaint, but grew worse when assistant principal Sandra Scott compared the artwork to swastikas, according to the teacher involved.
Vice principal, it's my understanding, explains to the teacher in the presence of the principal that this student's artwork that says gay is okay is basically sending a similar message to Nazi swastikas.
An audio recording between the teacher and the principal addresses the comment.
The comparison between the flags and the swastika, I think, was extremely an ignorant comment because they are just very widely different.
This is just such a coincidence that I had a conversation with Ms. Scott.
Right,
2 hours before our conversation. The history of swastika is different.
Right,
between what people know.
The community's angry. The parents are angry that nothing's being done.
Families will speak at a school board meeting Thursday, hoping for some sort of response from the district.
They pay tax dollars for their child to attend school, and this is kind of the treatment they're getting.
Reporting in Athens, Savannah Louis, CBS 46 News.
We did reach out to Clark County School District. We are still awaiting a response. Once we get that, we will update the story.
Well, the great thing about it is that at least people are complaining and suing and not hiding and standing up for their kids.
If it wasn't for the video, I'm not sure we'd ever hear about something like this. Video changes everything.
It sure does. And we don't have video on this, but let me take you to New York City. We have a new mayor, Eric Adams. We told you last week or the week before, he backed down on appointing an anti-gay bigot, Fernando Cabrera, as head of the mental health office, but he won't rule him out for another position. He wants to put him into the faith-based office. This is the guy, Cabrera, who was a former city council member, also fundamentalist preacher, who went to Uganda and praised the government there when they were considering the Kill the Gays bill back in 2014. So he's horrible. And so there have been a lot of protests. And the mayor's response to this, and I will link to my article in Gay City News about this, his response is, well, we disagree. I'm the mayor. I get to do what I want. this is what we're up against with this guy. And the other thing is that the head of the faith-based office is another anti-gay pastor who has campaigned against same-sex marriage and says, apropos of the last story, comparing us to swastikas, he says, well, we love everybody, but, gays, it's like, we love smokers, we love adulterers. Well, that's nice.
Oh, thank you for lumping us in with the sinners, right?
God, it's too much. But, the mayor said, there will be those who will critique us, but let's be clear, lions don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. This is scary.
And I want to make sure everyone heard you say where they can read more about this in your latest article.
Gay City News, I'll link to it. Go to gaycitynews.com or I'll link to it in our email. Yeah.
Speaking of mayors, Andy, Mayor Ganey in Pittsburgh, yes. Ed Ganey, he made a landmark announcement. This is history. Translatina Maria Montaño is press secretary. She is an experienced communications professional who brings a lot of talent. She also happens to be a proud queer Latinx woman. She's possibly the highest ranking Latinx or transgender woman to serve in a mayoral administration in Pittsburgh history. Congratulations to her and to the mayor.
Just great. And I'll take you back to New York for a second. We have something called Marsha's House in the Bronx, an 81-bed facility for LGBTQ people, homeless, 18 to 30. And NBC News did a big expose on it about how the security guards are sexually harassing the people there, and it's not being taken care of. They get like I have a $25 million contract. But here's the thing. We advocate for these programs. We get these programs, but we have to make sure they're doing the right thing by the people they're supposed to serve.
Well, beyond New York, let's take a look at some of the states that are now targeting transgender youth, because right now we've already got South Dakota being the first one, as you previously, but today Indiana advanced another bill that would ban trans girls from playing, passed a key vote. We've got Kentucky doing the same thing. We've got Iowa, and in Alabama, they've approved a bill that criminalizes healthcare, gender-affirming healthcare for transgender youth. All this comes as just two states, Arizona and West Virginia, you know, took care of trans athletes, making trans athletes allowed to compete. But boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be like 2021 all over again. It could be worse, they say. There are 10 states now that ban trans athletes, and at least one state has a trans gender-affirming healthcare ban that is being challenged in federal court.
We'll and the ACLU and our local groups are challenging all these bills in court. But that Alabama bill, it requires public and school staff to notify parents if a child questions his or her or their gender identity.
Basically outing them. Parents.
Terrible.
Crazy.
By the way, small victory in New York. The Bronx has the same, you know, we tell you about St. Patrick's parades and integration of gay people. The Bronx is finally going to let a gay group in. So,
yay!
Okay.
Hey, as a former resident of the Bronx of the Kingsbridge section, I'm all for it.
And you know, back to these schools. Did you read about Loudoun County, Virginia? Not just school board members, but their children are receiving death threats because the school district has a trans positive policy. This school board member, Brenda Sheridan, kid, got an anonymous note calling her mother a communist whore. If she doesn't quit before the end of the year, we will kill her, but first we will kill you, to a child. The county sheriff said 50 threats have been received of but against school board members from April through November last year. The National School Boards Association is asking the Justice Department to really help in combating this terrible threat.
You know that kind of language? I'd expect it from Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. You and I have both tangled in person with Mr. Donahue. Good news, he's retiring. Not right away, unfortunately. And he just got a $500,000 raise back in 2019.
We don't have a picture of him, but just imagine Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker and Louder. The man, I swear to God, I sat not 2 feet away from him, and he was screaming at me when I was interviewing him for NBC News.
At the risk of being sued for libel, because I don't think it's libelous, but my friend Mick has spent a lot of time talking to this guy and is sure that he's one of us, which is horrible. Anyway.
Not surprised.
All right. We lost somebody else this week. Author Lars Eigner, famous for writing about eloquently about his experience with homelessness and travels with Lisbeth, has died at 73 in Austin, Texas. Also famous for his essay on dumpster diving, to survive, always asking the question. He says, when you go into a dumpster, always ask the question, why was this thrown away? He is survived by his husband, Cliff Hexamer, and he also wrote about the gay cosmos in an essay collection. He's the author of numerous golden age gay erotic stories and a work of gay theory. Okay.
Elizabeth, his dog. That was such a beautiful picture. I'm so glad we were able to show it. Rest in peace, Lars.
Okay. In New York City, Reclaim Pride, the Queer Liberation March, is happening again June 26th. And they are going to have an online town hall on Sunday, March 6th from 3 to 5 p.m. Go to reclaimpridenyc.org. They want you to register in advance.
And don't forget, there's also other marches like the Dyke March. It's a big, big thing.
Dyke March, Trans March, Drag March, and of course, these are all across the country.
Right here in Connecticut, West Hartford Pride. I'm on the board, and we had a big festival last year, a parade. It was just a big gathering, but it was so much fun.
All right. Should we move on to some
international news?
Yeah. We don't want to go too fast here, but I have many things to talk about. Where do you want to start?
I think that because I'm trans, I'm going to start with this. A transgender woman in Iraq was murdered by her own brother, and it was called a suspected honor killing. This is in Kurdistan, a very disputed area of Iraq. Her name is Dosky Azad. There's a picture of her. She was 23. She was a makeup artist at a salon. It only reached us now, but it happened late January. It was in a small village 12 miles north of Duhok, in the Duhok governorate. 3 days later, oh, just awful. I'm just telling you, she was shot in the head and the chest, according to reports.
Yeah, her brother fled to Turkey and maybe in Germany, and there is a warrant out for his arrest. At least 120 women were victims of honor killings in 2019 in Kurdistan alone. And Kurdistan is the more liberal area of Iraq. I mean, I have a friend who used to live there. And in this case, Azad was targeted for being transgender. So just a horrible, horrible thing, these honor killings. I mean, this is in the name of what, religion? It's just awful.
Well, kudos to the U.S. government, at least, for calling it out. They put out a statement saying that they condemn the killing and they are calling for the extradition. Let's see what happens.
Okay. In South Africa, they're not counting LGBTQ people in the census. LGBTQ groups are up in arms. Now, don't forget, this is the first country in the world to put us in the Constitution for protections. Only the categories of male and female are offered on the census form. No sexual orientation, no gender identity. And that's South Africa. Very disappointing.
In London, we have a report from The Telegraph. Heterosexual HIV diagnoses are overtaking those in gay men for the first time in a decade. Now, we could have done this in the AIDS section of the show, but I wanted to bring it up because it comes from London. Heterosexuals are found to be more likely to be diagnosed late, meaning damage to their immune systems has already begun. The so-called gay disease, it's not.
Right. Let's just see here. It's 49%. In 2020, 49% heterosexual, 45% gay and bisexual.
That's right.
HIV diagnosis. During the COVID years, HIV dropped among heterosexuals, dropped 33%. Stop mixing it up. And among gay and bisexual people, 7%. So it is an issue, but LGBTQ people could be proud of themselves for making more progress there.
And we're also more protected, as you reported last week, from COVID.
All right. What are the Chinese doing to us this week during the Olympics?
Right. Let's get
their
to that one.
Streaming platforms are censoring a lesbian plot line from old episodes of Friends. There's lesbian or bisexual. It stems from they're cutting conversations about Ross's wife leaving him after realizing she is lesbian. It had been streaming without censorship from about 2012, but fans are protesting this. And my question is, why aren't the producers of Friends pulling the product if it's being censored, which some other, you know, Hollywood people do when these things come up?
There's also another obituary to talk about. Isabel Torres, the Spanish actor known for portraying the transgender icon Cristina on Veneno Ortiz on HBO's Veneno. She died Friday. It was originally written in Spanish on her official Instagram. She was 52.
Yeah. She was also an entertainer who won worldwide acclaim. She was from the Gran Canary Island. She was the first to transition there. Numerous awards in Spain, and including from GLAAD for Best Spanish Language Scripted Television Series. Okay. Now, India, the Ministry of Social Justice is rolling out a comprehensive program to aid trans people and rehabilitate people engaged in begging, something that we could use here. The goal is to mainstream trans people, they say. It covers all aspects of transition-related care, and it also provides aid for education and employment. These are the kinds of things we need here. And in India's Tamil Nadu state, a transgender Rotary Club has been formed to help members with education and opportunities. It pays to be a joiner.
There's some breaking news from London. A petition has forced a debate in the House of Commons on the trans right to self-identification. In England, I can't just say I'm transgender. I have to go through this whole rigmarole, this whole policy thing where I get paperwork and all these gatekeepers just to be able to identify as the woman I am. Well, they're going to debate this finally.
Right. And the conservative government promised to do it, and they've been dragging their heels on it. All right. In New Zealand, they are blasting Barry Manilow music at the truckers who are protesting of the COVID vaccine mandates, which is a tribute, which is, I talked to Rob Shooter, who his husband, Bruce Sussman, wrote, Copacabana with Barry, a tribute to Barry's effect on right-wing reactionaries. And it's on a 15-minute loop.
That's amazing. I love it. Copacabana. So in Australia, a Christian school asked parents to sign a contract that would exclude gay and transgender students. So this has now become a change.org petition. More than 100,000 signatures as of earlier this month. And the schools have buckled. Tell us a little bit more about that, Andy. You're more familiar with it than I am.
Well, no, it's called City Point Christian College. But it's a school that, they would the contract said, we'll expel your kid if they come out as gay, only acknowledge gender assigned at birth. And they linked homosexuality to acts of bestiality, incest, and pedophilia on this contract. So there was a backlash, as you reported. And they were told, look, this violates the Queensland, because that's where it is, the Queensland Anti-Discrimination and Human Rights Act. So the school withdrew the contract at this time. Even the Religious Freedom Bill would not have allowed this, even though the government does. And we should talk about that now. So in Australia, the conservative government has wanted to pass a Religious Freedom Bill. And they kept getting pushback from the LGBTQ community. So they watered it down a bit. Now the right wing doesn't like the bill. So the bill is failing. The left said it went too far. The right said it didn't go far enough. But one legislator, Stephen Jones, spoke up for his gay son. He has more courage than any boy I have ever met. And another legislator, Patty Quilter Jones, cited his trans nephew, who he said, sadly, took his own life at the age of 15. So this has had an effect in the Australian Parliament. Also, Ian Thorpe, the famous Olympic swimmer, stood up for trans students during this debate.
While we're down under, let's go to New Zealand, where the latest country to stop conversion therapy, they've outlawed it, is New Zealand. It's more than a dozen countries so far that have some form of national ban. Canada did it in December, France, 20 U.S. states have banned conversion therapy, but only for youngsters. And this was passed by a vote 112-8 on Tuesday.
That's terrific. New Zealand, I wish I could move there. In Israel, the health ministry formally banned medical professionals from doing conversion therapy. Even here, before it was banned by government, it was banned by the professional associations. They said, you can't do this. It's against your ethics. So Israel did it, and you can now lose your license if you do it.
Well, the problem is that the right-wingers are vowing to fight this. Story just moved yesterday. Religious Zionist Party Minister Avi Maus said, when we get in control, the health ministry will be ours and we'll prioritize conversion therapy. He did all that without saying,
all right, let's talk about crazy. What's going on with the gay games. They keep getting delayed. They were scheduled for Hong Kong. They got delayed. Now they're going to be in Hong Kong, but they're also going to be in Guadalajara, Mexico. It's going to be the first time in Asia and the first time in Latin America. Now it's scheduled for November 2023. But how do you have a gay games? I don't know how they're doing the Olympics in China with all the human rights stuff. And Hong Kong is under siege for human rights.
At least Guadalajara is the San Francisco of Mexico. Oh. It is a leader in gay rights, LGBT rights. I've been to Mexico as an out trans woman, and I was perfectly accepted and no problems whatsoever. Guadalajara is even better than where I was, which is Cabo. I think that this might be a play so that if they back out of Hong Kong, they have someplace to go.
Okay. All right. But you don't want to go to Russia. Much in the news for mounting a war on the Ukraine. That's, of course, the top of the news these days. But the Russian government lost a case to shut down one of the largest LGBTQ groups, the one we've told you about, the Russian LGBT Network. They were charged with, here's what their crime was, spreading LGBT views and going against traditional values. The government said they wanted to liquidate the Sphere Foundation, which is the legal group that operates it. But a Russian court sidelined the laws and from the so-called Justice Ministry, which expects to appeal this to a higher court.
Yeah, I was going to say, we won't be seeing that very long. Comrade, I'm sorry. If spreading LGBT propaganda is a crime, then I am guilty.
Right. And Thailand, the House of Representatives there passed a marriage equality bill, and they now send it, they're supposed to send it to the cabinet for 60 days of study, but they can stall sending it to the cabinet repeatedly. So, you know, I don't want to get all excited. It's not over till it's over.
Is there any other?
Yeah, Taiwan,
news?
Taiwan, LGBTQ Taiwan. Activists had a Valentine's Day downpour, demonstrated, protested. They're protesting the country's same-sex marriage law because it falls short of full recognition for many international couples. Right now, Taiwanese people may legally wed foreigners, but only from countries that also recognize same-sex marriage.
Didn't know that.
All right, some AIDS news. Now,
You want to talk about the members of Congress?
Let's talk about the big one, which is
sure.
A woman was cured, maybe.
Reportedly.
Yeah, we've talked about two past. A complete cure means the virus can't be found anywhere in your body. It's not hiding in reservoirs. It's gone. And it's very complicated getting it out, but it's happened twice. And now they say the New York patient, a woman, it has been cleared of HIV. This time, scientists use a cutting-edge stem transplant method that they expect will expand the pool of who can get it, but only to dozens of people, not millions or thousands. She was a cancer patient who got a transplant of umbilical cord blood containing stem cells that amount to a powerful nascent immune system. Then you get a larger graft of adult stem cells that flourish but are overtaken by the cord blood cells. Now, the cord blood comes from, and this is the thing, finding this cord blood, it has to come from someone who has this factor, which 1% of people do, where you can't get HIV. I mean, that we've known that since the beginning of the pandemic. Some people are immune to HIV, and that's what they're using. So anyway.
She's the third one. She had leukemia, like you said, and she also received blood from a close relative to give her body temporary immune defenses while the transplant took hold. I think that cord blood is something that everyone, man or woman who or non-binary person who has a baby, should consider banking. We did it because it could end up saving someone's life.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, a couple of members of Congress, actually 56 of them, led by Congress members Mondaire Jones and Richie Torres.
There they are.
They're calling on the CDC and Medicare Medicaid to make the new HIV drug Apretude, the one that's injectable, available cost-free. This is not pills, but PrEP through two shots, 1 month apart, and then one shot every 2 months. It now costs $3,700 a dose.
Woo!
Insurers are not required to cover it. They want public and private insurers to cover it, just like the other forms of PrEP. Jones says that he takes PrEP. Black Americans contract HIV 8 times as much as whites, yet only 9% have been prescribed PrEP versus 66% of whites. 32% of eligible trans Americans take PrEP. So we got to get more people on board. And I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me.
Go ahead. And while you sneeze, I'm going to say, I know most of our viewers know this, but Richie Torres, Mondaire Jones, they both represent New York. They are the first openly gay black members of Congress. And how many Republicans have signed this? Zero. Come on. It's human life.
Well, they're not doing so good on COVID on the Republican Party either. I mean, when you hear, you know, Republicans defending the trucking protesters who, you know, oh my God, if they were Black Lives Matter, they'd want them shot on sight or run over. You know, they passed a bill in Florida. It's okay to run them over. Yes. You know, they're not saying that about these truckers.
Well, people would say that if the January 6th insurrectionists were Black, that insurrection would have lasted about 30 seconds. They all would have been shot dead.
Okay. All right. Entertainment news. Where are we going? Let's start with the Olympic skater, out gay skater Guillaume Cizeron, and his dance partner Gabriella Papadakis from France. Yes. They won gold in ice dancing. I love what this guy said. It was a dominating win. He said, the rink became the only place other than home where I was lifted up and not torn down for my mannerisms. It gave him the courage to come out. Okay.
And he's the second Olympian in this Beijing Winter Games to win gold who's LGBT. Last week you reported about Irene Wüst of the Netherlands. She's a Dutch speed skater. She's a bisexual.
Thank you for the correction. I think I said she was a lesbian. She's about to marry her woman partner, but she is bisexual, and we certainly want to embrace our all bisexual people.
So far, no American LGBT winners, though.
Probably
not
most
yet.
People are deep down, but let's not. I don't have to get into that.
No, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to say we're still waiting for an American LGBT gold winner or silver medalist or bronze medalist, but there was one American who did show his pride. He's gay, and despite the rules saying you can't show any political demonstrations, do we have the picture?
Yes. So we have a picture of skeleton slider Andrew Blazer. There he is in all his glory. Yes. And let's show his sled.
Look at that. A gift from a bobsledder on the American Team USA, a rainbow wrap. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes, one of his teammates gave it to him, and he used it, and he did not get incarcerated for it.
He didn't get incarcerated. He also didn't win. He did poorly. Unfortunately, none of the skeleton team was able to bring home but there was another trailblazer in that team. Three people, one American man, two American women, the first Black woman on skeleton, and she's also a U.S. Air Force airman.
Wow. All right. Should we go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, I was loving it.
Well, look, I don't get very excited about football. I couldn't name any of the players on either team. Oh, I did know who was playing. I always use it as an occasion to do my tax receipts. But I watched the opening, and then I heard, and all of a sudden I see on the screen Billie Jean King, because she's a local, hometown hero there in Inglewood. And they had her doing the coin toss, and they had a lovely film about her work for equity and talking. It was just great. So that was nice.
Wasn't it great? Because also, she's a co-owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers as well, the World Series champ Los Angeles Dodgers. And she did a pretty good job. She tossed it up in the air and they didn't lose it.
Billie Jean, we have invited you on the show to talk about your autobiography, and we'd love to
have your new book.
Because we love you, and we understand that you do watch the show from time to time, so thanks a lot.
And come on the show. Talk to Andy and Ann. Hey, I'll take it. What about the other guys at the Super Bowl who were the first squad of five out gay cheerleaders at the Super Bowl? You may have seen them when they came in to SoFi Stadium. There they are in the locker room, and there they are walking behind the 23 female scantily clad cheerleaders, but no NFL team. Even though 11 teams have male cheerleaders now, these guys were the first NFL team, and they have the most. Let's see them again. Let's see those pretty faces. These five guys talked to me for the Los Angeles Blade, and they're just wonderful. I got to tell you, what they did was make history.
And the co-captain, Napoleon, said, I feel we're bringing this army of out gay proud men with us. And the other thing that happened in Super Bowl week was Carl Nassib was recognized on Thursday before the Super Bowl as a trailblazer for being the first out active player in the regular season.
Yep, for the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, great job. I'm sorry he didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but God bless him for being his true self and living his authentic life.
And you found one more Super Bowl LGBTQ note.
Well, if you were watching the ASL, American Sign Language Translator, who was doing her sign language during the national anthem, this woman wore a LGBT pride pin. And let me make sure I find her name. Her name is... I don't know her name. I'm going to have to find it. I'm sorry, Andy.
it's all right. And you know, I spent a lot of time watching sign language last night because I watched the movie Coda, which is about a family with hearing impairments who are fisher. They run a fishing boat. And it is terrific and very heartwarming. And so I would recommend that. I also want to recommend, I finally saw Denzel Washington doing his Macbeth with Frances McDormand, directed by her husband, Joel Cohn. It is intense. It is excellent. It's excellent Shakespeare because it's sort of like this. Every shot is sort of like what you and I are doing right now, our faces right on the screen. And you get the language and you get the intensity. So well,
her name, by the way, was Sandra May Frank, and she's on Twitter. And her sister tweeted, "Seeing my sister perform at the Super Bowl is one amazing thing. Seeing her do it with a pride pin, you can just see how happy she was to perform and be there. And I'm so happy to see her there, too. We were happy to see her, too."
Now, Dawn.
Yes.
You went to Fashion Week in New York. Tell us about it.
Well, true fact, when I was young, I was a child model from age 5 to 17. And for a few years, I modeled as a girl, including walking the red carpet, not the red carpet, the runway with Brooke Shields and Sarah Jessica Parker. So this was a real
pictures.
Thrill for me.
Where are the pictures? You should have brought the pictures.
I'm sorry, but this is a real thrill for me to be able to go to New York Fashion Week, which always has been accepting and wonderful for trans models. But take a look at this video. These are out trans models modeling for trans clothing company and includes a 10-year-old girl. And there she is, Fallon Fox. There's the designer, Melissa Atkinson. Fallon Fox is a MMA trailblazer, the first out MMA fighter. And I shot this video, and it was wonderful. It was really great. I got to talk to Fallon. I got to talk to the folks at Trans Clothing and talk to some of the models, too. The 10-year-old girl, Noella, is from Chicago. This was her first big show, but she's been doing it since she was 7. Isn't that incredible?
Would she be allowed to do it in Florida?
I would think so.
Well, that's great. Thank you for that video. And, you know, in more family news, Anderson Cooper announced the birth of his second son, Sebastian Luke Maysani Cooper.
Look at that surrogacy. Face.
6.8 pounds, will be co-parented with Anderson's best friend and ex-partner, Benjamin Maysani, along with the first son, Wyatt. Now, Cooper said, "As a gay kid, I never thought it would be possible to have a child, and I'm grateful to all those who paved the way." He said when his own dad died when he was 11, he had no father figure who stepped in to take him to a ball game or just talk. So by co-parenting with Maysani, someone else will be there for the kids, whether or not I'm around, he said.
I just think Anderson's great. He's a neighbor, by the way. He lives here in Connecticut when he's not in New York. Oh. And also was a child model, too.
Okay. Anne reminds us to recommend the new documentary, Fannie Lou Hamer's America, about the great civil rights activist of the 1960s. This woman was fierce, out of Mississippi. It's going to be on PBS and World Channel, February 22nd and the 24th. Check your local listings. It is powerful stuff. The director of this film, Joy Davenport, was inspired by Hamer from doing the film to come out as a transgender woman.
Amazing.
People standing up for themselves.
How about Amy Schneider of Jeopardy fame? She made some news.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So there she is with her partner, Genevieve. Genevieve proposed, and Amy said yes, they're going to get married. But first, they're taking a trip to Ireland, she told me in an interview last month. She is going to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day, and she's writing a book. So she quit her job.
That's fantastic. Our co-host, guest co-host Chris Cooper is writing a book too, but it's about birding. Because he's a big birder.
That's exciting.
Well, you know, we really have three more minutes to talk, and it's great to have you here.
How is it possible? We went through everything so fast.
We went fast. So talk to us about, since it's so intense, the state of the transgender movement and what we're going through in this country and what people can do, in their communities.
The very first thing I ask anybody who's cisgender, who wants to support trans people, is if you hear somebody use the T word, tranny, or some joke about somebody, you know, masquerading or dressing up as a woman, or a man who has a baby, a man who's giving birth, a man who's a trans man who's pregnant, stop them. Stop that person and say, hey, that's not cool. Don't do that. It's not nice. It's not right. It's discriminatory. You wouldn't allow someone to say the N word, right? You wouldn't allow someone to make jokes about someone because they are having abilities or challenges, unless you're Donald Trump. You would basically step in and say, hey, that's not cool. Do the same thing for us. For those people who don't know, how can it be that you don't know what gender you are? Well, we do know what genders we are. If you're righty or lefty, Andy, which one are you?
Right hand.
So if I asked you to write with your left hand, my friend Hannah Simpson came up with this. What would it look like if you wrote with your left hand all your life?
Well, when my Aunt Margaret, who was born in 1918, was in school, she was left-handed, and they made her write with her right hand.
Exactly. And it's not right. It's not natural to be forced to do something you're not supposed to do. So if I came along, Andy, and I said, hey, write with the hand that feels more correct, that is more authentic. That's what gender identity is all about. It's just about being who you're really supposed to be. The last thing I will say is to answer your question, I put up with a lot of stuff, and I have to just basically suck it up sometimes. And I try to let jokes be jokes, Dave Chappelle style, you know? There isn't much I can do. But what I really need is not for other trans people like me to stand up and try and fight for our rights. I need cisgender people like you, Andy, like Anne, like all of our allies to help us fight. I'm a mom. I want my kids to do as best as they can in all sports. And all we're asking is for the right to compete.
Now, we are down to our last minute, and that is so important. Stepping in, at the Trevor Project, they call it, don't be a bystander, be an upstander. People really have, and this means with your friends, with your family, you know, just say, you don't have to get, you know, into a huge fight. Just say, hey, you know, that's not, as you said, it's not cool. I mean, and it's prejudicial, and it hurts people. And look, we report every week on the horrible things trans people have to put up with and go through, and we're trying to stop all that, folks.
Well, you're going to have news next week. I just give you a little sneak peek. The Trevor Project is about to release their new national survey of nearly 35,000 LGBTQ youth. It's coming out tomorrow, Thursday, and you're going to have it next week's show, and it's eye-opening.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dawn. It's been such a pleasure to be with you.
Great to be here. Thank you for the honor.
And we will see you next week when we think Anne will be back. Woohoo!